I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. Few were ever funkier. Sly and the Family Stone lit up the 60s and 70s with an unprecedented blend of R&B, soul, and psychedelic rock. A new 40th anniversary box set of their earliest albums features the band's hardest hits. Sylvester Sly Stewart was an eccentric rock and soul DJ when he created Sly and the Family Stone in San Francisco. It was a racially mixed group of men and women, including Sly's sister and brother, Rose and Freddie. Together, they wrote some unforgettable anthems that were hip to their soul power generation. Sly and the Family Stone rocked Woodstock, packed Madison Square Garden, and hit the top 10 on pop and R&B charts. I spoke with two of the Family Stone's original members, Larry Graham and Sly's sister, Rose Stone. Rose says when Sly asked her to join his new band, she hesitated.
I was the last one to get in the group. I had been basically in the family band all my life. We started when we were 5 and 6 years old. So when I got in the group, it was like, you know, it was like pulling teeth in a way of speaking, because I was just so happy with being out of a musical group.
So tell me this. You grew up in this musical family, all this talent. What did you grow up listening to? The radio? What did you listen to growing up?
We didn't listen to the radio a lot. The most we listened was on the Sunday mornings. And my dad would always be have the radio on, listening to quartets. And we made a lot of music with pots and pans and piano and whatever we could tap on. I think that's why our music ended up sounding the way it did, because we fed off of each other.
Say that you're trying to convince me to come to a show that you had back in 68. We're doing this show that's
really fun and energetic, and it's all of our own music, and you're going to love it. That's how we looked at it. That's how we talked about it. That's how we saw it. It was good, wholesome, fun music.
Larry, do you remember the first time or one of the first times that you went out on the road, and how was that different for you?
By that time, you know, Sly and the Family Stone, all of us were, you know, we were like family, so there's comfort in that. But, you know, you don't have grandma, you know, we call it Mommy M. We don't have Mommy M's cooking, you know. But on the positive, it's so exciting because you're experiencing things that you have never experienced or have never seen before.
Tell me about like an early show that you might have done, and the crowd especially, because although I was but a wee tot in the late 60s.
Me too.
That's right. That's right, girl. It strikes me that people were crossing boundaries, whether they were racial, cultural, geographic. What do you remember about the audiences that you played to?
I think they were surprised. Because we were different. We were so different. So the audiences, many times they try to run up on the stage with us, and because they just got hysterically excited, which was good. It wasn't out of order.
Was there a moment when maybe you started playing bigger venues and you realized, wow, this is something that other people have latched onto, not just a few people in a small club, but a large group of people and a generation in a way?
When we really, really got a hold of that in our heads, when it really took hold, was when we had played, sold out Madison Square Garden several times, And then we realized, I think we were backstage and we were talking, I think we're famous. You know, we just, because we never looked, that wasn't our goal to be famous. We were just a bunch of kids having fun with the music.
Speaking of the music, and I want to get deeper into this, we have a blog. It's called News and Views, and you can access it through our website. And we had people write in before you came in and tell us, rather, what is your favorite Sly and the Family Stone song? So a woman named Nikki King wrote, "Everyday People is my all-time favorite Sly and the Family Stone song. The song captures the sentiments of inclusiveness, acceptance, and equality that ought to be the goals of a fair and just society. Sly's lyrics and beat capture the energy and hopefulness of an era."
That is beautiful. That's exactly how I feel. My sentiments exactly. I love that song. We got to live together. I have other reasons that I like other songs, but that one in itself says the most and speaks of who we are and who everybody else is.
What's your favorite, just on a personal level?
On a personal level, and they were my favorites for different reasons. I think Hot Fun in the Summertime, and then sometimes Family Affair. It's a family affair.
It's a family affair. Larry, I'm going to give you a shot at responding to this one. One of our colleagues on a show, Day to Day, felt like writing in. Karen Grigsby Bates, she is amazing. And she wrote that her favorite song was "Thank You for Letting Me Be Myself." She said it was the song that got everybody out on the floor. It was always party time when that was played. What do you say, Larry?
First of all, thank you to her. I mean, that's wonderful. And a lot of people felt like that and still do. It's a great song, I think. It stood up till today.
Let me ask you about Sly. He has not seemed to have weathered the years as well as you have. What do you attribute that to?
Well, he was in a position to take the brunt of whatever came at all of us. So I'm sure his response to a lot of life, the way just life takes you ups and downs, I'm sure it's taken a toll on him more so than maybe it did on me. But he's out now. He's performing now.
Are you guys tight?
Yes.
What we would like to do is sing a song together.
Did you feel like at the moment that you played Woodstock that it was more than a moment, that it was, you know, the kind of unity where you had everybody, you know, you and Carlos Santana and all these bands of different stripes and colors performing on that stage? Did you feel like something magical was happening, Rose?
Well, we knew something magical was happening, I think, after we realized that it was a sea of people in front of us. It was about 5 a.m. when we went on, and it was dark, and we were playing at our best. And the sun started to come up, and all of a sudden, all we could see was just a sea of people. I think it was like an apex of our group. I don't know that it solved anything racially, or I don't know about that.
Boy, I take you higher, higher. Now, if you throw the peace sign up and say higher, get everybody to do it.
As your group moved into the '70s, you seem to become more inward focused, more pensive in your sound.
You got that right.
Do you remember making a conscious shift, or was this something that just happened as you looked at the world around you, but you also dealt with your own issues? Rose?
That's basically the whole thing. We all had changed by then, and we were just a product of life, of the way life had taken its toll on all of us, actually. And that's what you hear, the we were just a product of the change, the times.
Ooh, you got something right. You got that right. You got that right. You got that right.
Well, there's no way around it. You guys have created some amazing songs, and I look forward to blasting them as I'm driving around this summer. I just hope that...
I've been doing that. I've been wearing my little box set out.
Exactly.
It's in my car right now, in my CD changer. Oh.
Yeah. Well, this was something that just even talking about you guys coming on the show got so much excitement going. And Rose Stone, Larry Graham, thank you so much.
Thank you thank for you. Letting us
be ourselves
again.
The new Sly and the Family Stone 40th Anniversary Box Set features the band's first 7 albums remastered with alternative takes and instrumentals.
Clothes I wear.